Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to High Points today. If you're eating, please do not feel bad at all. I understand it's lunch, so and you already paid for it, so I wouldn't want to interrupt that. My name is Gabriel Jankulovic. I'm not going to take a test how you would spell my last name. I think it wouldn't be fair. It is, thank you, Chad. I appreciate you just giving it away. I-A-N-C-U-L-O-V-I-C-I. I used to teach in school before, and the students that I had in the class will just say Mr. I. They just wouldn't bother. So I am so honored to be here this afternoon. So grateful, Dr. Self. I don't know how I could just stand here. He's just an incredible speaker, an incredible pastor, and I love him dearly. Diane, just thank you so much for your service here, coming here. I also have Kevin Spivey. Kevin Spivey, I don't know where you at. Eating somewhere. I just love my brother Kevin Spivey. We served together at Houston's First. We're in the missions office, and it's almost like David and Jonathan. That's the relationship that Kevin and I have. We teach a class together on Wednesday. It's Learn to Pray, Cultivate a Heart for Prayer. So our hearts really focusing and wanting desperately to share in the church a quality of prayer time with the Lord. We're just want so bad, so much needed in our churches. So that's what Kevin and I do on Wednesday. I don't know how many of you come to Houston's First. If you are a Houston's First member and you come regularly, can I see your hand? Just awesome. Well, awesome. So you may know they call me Gabriel the Baptizer. There's Kevin right there. Kevin and I both are doing most of the baptisms at Houston's First, and has been just so honored to walk with people all walks of life coming, giving their life to Jesus, and walking this discipleship pathway with them. We are in the missions office. Kevin is the minister of assimilation, and I've been at Houston's First for a year, so I'm still learning my way, but it's been incredible, especially seeing God moving in a place like Houston's First. So I'm very honored to be with you today, and the Lord has put this word in my heart a long time ago, and I feel that I'm going to reuse this message one day. But I feel so strongly in my heart that this is for this group of people today. And I'm excited to share what the Lord put on my heart, because I think that it's going to be impactful and it's going to be meaningful. So if this afternoon you're here to relax, I'll just take you on a journey with God's help today through the scripture briefly. And we're going to talk about the covenant that God has with us. My title is Abraham's Sacrifice, a Promise for Today. It is a promise for today, but I just want to just journey with you through the scripture of what God is able to do in our lives, in your life, in my life. Amen? So get ready. It's going to get excited. I'm going to get a little louder here because when I get passionate, my tone changes, Chad, okay? So you're going to have to help me not blow this place up, because I'm so excited to share what the Lord has put on my heart specifically regarding with the covenant. And so if Chad will help us go to the next slide, I'm going to read for you the scripture that we're going to talk about, and I just want this to sink into your heart. You may not know the context, And even if you don't have your Bibles with you, don't worry about it. I got you. I got you today. I just want you to zoom in and let's journey together of what God has for us. But before we read this, why not ask the Lord to come? Why not invoke the presence of God in this place? Amen. And if I forget, after all is said and done, we, Kevin and I, would love to pray for you. We are not here to lecture. We're not here to give you information. Most of you have gone to church. You work in the business world. I'm sure you're logical, intelligent people. And truly, I don't know that I have anything to share other than Christ and Himself crucified. And that's what I want to zoom in. That's what I want to do. So let's pray this afternoon as we journey together to see God's power be manifested today at High Point. Are you ready to see just the fire of God coming down this at lunch? Amen. Father God, we just praise you. We glorify your name through your Son, Jesus Christ, who have come into this world, have taken human flesh upon himself. And we magnify your name, O Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that every word that comes out, Lord, it will be Holy Spirit led. Lord, I pray against anything that would interfere with that. I just want to hide behind the cross, O Lord. And may you, O Lord, may we put you on display this afternoon, O Lord. May we see you high and lifted up. As we glorify your name through your word, through your spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. But the words it was counted to him as righteousness were not written for him alone, but for us also who believe. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. I was journeying through scripture. I got through this passage and I was just contemplating. I was thinking, what were the words that was counted to him? Where were those words counted to him found? And if you're in Genesis 15, you don't need to turn with me. I don't want you to turn with me this afternoon. But in Genesis 15, God has a promise for Abraham. He encounters Abraham. And now he delivers this amazing encounter with him. And he puts in display his covenant with Abraham. But I want you to journey with me just before that. Adam and Eve in the garden. We all know the story. Eve passes on the fruit to Adam. He just looks at his wife, and for whatever reason, he takes it in, and now they are becoming disobedient to God, and it's all over, it's done. Now, just in chapter 16 of Genesis, before this promise that I'm going to lay out for you, you have Sarah and you have Abraham. They just have heard of God's promise and the promise, his covenant with his people. And their way of satisfying that covenant is to go on their own mind and their own understanding. This was the promise that God made to Abraham. He said, I want you to look at all the stars in the sky. Look at all of them. How many are there? And if you can't tell me how many there are, I want you to take just take some sand in your hand. And I want you to count them. Tell me how many are there. And he looks and God tells him, as many as the stars, I'm going to do something with your life that you can't even count for it. You can't account for it. So in chapter 16, Abraham and Sarah become impatient with God's promise. And now on their own, they come up with a plan. Sarah takes her maid, her servant. And he tells Abraham, I need you to lay with her. And you will have, I'm too old. I need you to lay with her. You will have a son. And God's promise will go through this seed. And they just fail to understand God's promise. just chapter 15, what I'm about to share with you this afternoon, it happens, this amazing display of God's glory happens. And then in chapter 16, they revert back to exactly what Adam and Eve, their hearts and their wicked ways, their understanding, their plans and their devices. And so this afternoon, if we can journey together to understand the heart of God and God's covenant with us. He has a covenant with us, and he has in his plan, his plans are yes, amen. This is what happens in chapter 15. God shows up to Abraham and says, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a heifer of 3 years old, a little cow, 3 years old, and I want you to bring it here. I want you to bring it in front of me. And after you bring your heifer, I need you to go and get a female goat. Go get her. So Abraham gets the goat, puts 3 years old, puts over here. After he puts these animals there, he says, I want you to go get a ram. Get the ram, 3 years old, and bring him here. So Abraham goes, gets the ram, puts the three-year-old ram right there. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a turtle dove, and I want you to take a pigeon, and I want you to put them right there. So Abraham lines it up. And God himself looks at this and says, upon my creation, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And upon everything I made, and my word, everything there is, this is my covenant with you. And I'm going to do it. And I want you to split them in half. And I want you to split all in half. Split them in half. And let the blood just gush there. This is my promise with you. This is my covenant with you. And Abraham is obeying God's word, and he splits in half these animals, and there's blood gushing all over. And the Bible says in chapter 15 of Genesis that Abraham lay down next to carcasses of all this thing. And the Bible says that as they were laying down, as Abraham was laying down, darkness came upon him. And just before darkness was coming upon, there were birds, prey of birds come, wanting to come and take this flesh out of this covenant, this promise. And Abraham would get up and he would fight with them. On that night, that terrifying night, Abraham had a dream. And God came in a dream to Abraham and he was laying down to this bloody mess. And God said to him, I'm going to build a nation. 400 years. I'm going to take this nation out of Egypt and I'm going to form this nation. These are going to be my people. Upon my name, upon this creation, upon my word, I'm going to do something with this nation that they will look at them and they're going to display the glory of me, God, the mighty God, the one who creates anything, everything and anything. On the second day, Abraham gets up. He's just thinking, what is happening? What is this? You can imagine Abraham's heart. And the Bible says that on the second night, he does the same. There's just blood. Can you imagine all this stuff, the stench of all this thing, all this blood, all this gushing stuff, all this craziness. And now Abraham is laying down to this thing. And the Bible says that fire from heaven just came and consume this. And God in display just, I will make it happen. This is my covenant with you. It shall happen. I don't know what your sacrifice is. I don't know what God has promised in your heart, what covenant God has made with you, either if it's a covenant of marriage, even if it's your salvation with him, either if God has promised you that he will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your job, no matter what where you are in life, no matter what season in your life is, God stands today as he stood before Abraham, as he stood before Isaac and Jacob, claiming and proclaiming over your life that my covenant is something that I will keep. Now, Paul is writing this to the Romans. And if you go to the next slide, the same words that are in Genesis 15 that I just quoted and I showed you, they're found in another verse in the scripture, which is in Galatians, right? And in Galatians, Paul makes the same argument to the Galatians. If you go a few verses up, Paul starts with, "Oh, foolish Galatians, how quickly you've turned your theology in a theology of works. Don't you know that he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, don't you know that? That is not in your works, and what, how good of a person you are and how able it is for you to keep it together and how successful you are and how talented. But it's by faith, by Abraham's faith, that he believed in the covenant of God and that he put his faith in him." We see the same scripture in the next slide in James. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and he was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Where are you at today? Where is your beliefs when it comes to the faithfulness of God? Of God's promise towards you that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Is that just something that you hear at church? Is there something that you just hear people talking about? Are we just talking about, is this just a fairy tale to you? Are you truly in your heart, you believe with every fiber of your being that you were meant to exist in this world, that God has made you to display the glory of his presence? You know, if you ask in America, what's your belief? There's so many people who say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." I come from Romania in 1996, and I lived now longer in the United States than I lived in my own country of Romania. And I remember when I came here, I came with $50 in my pocket. Really, I didn't have anything. And I was flying from Romania to United States, and I would argue with the stewardess. She wanted to feed me, and I said, "No, I don't want to spend my $50. Never did I know it was for free. And I was 17 years old when God has put in my heart that I'm going to depart. I'm going to go to another land that I did not know. And Abraham became my best friend. He quickly became the person, my friend, who I could hang on and to try to figure out, how did you do it? And I began to learn and study his life and how God has made this promise to him. And I remember I came to the United States. I landed in Chicago O'Hare. Now, I'm from Romania, okay? Chicago O'Hare, I thought it was a city inside a building. I really thought that they made this city inside this building. And I'm walking through it. And I still remember how they would have these floors and they had these machines that they were just coming and they would just make these floors shining. And I'm thinking, this is insane. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, they're shining this where am I? I had to take a plane from Chicago O'Hare the next day to come to Fort Worth, to Dallas, where was my sponsor. And I remember that there was someone with my name. They didn't spell my name really good, but they took upon themselves to take me, to escort me to what it was, Hilton Hotel in Chicago O'Hare. And I'm going there. I'm thinking, this is crazy. People sleep here? This is insane. And I was at a counter, and I knew only three things. I knew God bless you, have a nice day, and give me a break. And I knew give me a break for the show, step by step. I don't know if you know, Cody kept saying, give me a break. And we had that show in Romania, and I couldn't understand. I said, how do you want a break? Do you want like this? You want like, I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I just put that in my vocabulary. I didn't know anything. $50 in my pocket. I literally came with a bag. I had some socks, some undies, a toilet paper, because I didn't know if there was any toilet paper in the restrooms here in the United States. And I was ready to conquer the world and landed in Chicago here. And I was at Hilton standing before this lady trying to talk to me and couldn't talk to me. And all of a sudden, this guy with white gloves, you know, dressed like it looked like almost a military guy with buttons. And he had a funny hat. And the lady kept wanting to give me a credit card. And I said to her, I tried to speak in English. I said, my daddy told me when you go to the United States, don't get any credit cards because the Americans are in debt with credit cards. You don't want to do that. And sure enough, we couldn't understand each other. She gave the credit card to the man. The man took my bag. I was a little bit scared, but he escorted to my room. He took the credit card, put it in the door. The door opened, and here I was looking at Chicago O'Hare with all the buildings and the lights. And I'm from Romania. I never flew in my life. And that day I looked on my bed, there was this bed, it was fluffy, but I've never seen anything like that. I'm kind of laying and I just don't want to bother, I just don't want it. I say, God, I tell you what, God, I don't know what I'm doing here, but Lord, you're going to take care. You know what? Why don't we make a deal? I feel so lonely. I left my parents. I left my familiarity in Romania. I make a deal with you today, Lord. I just pray. Lord, I'm just asking you, you take the bed. I'll take the floor tonight. And that night I slept on the floor and I was thinking, I was talking with God all night. I said, God, how did you take care of Abraham? What were the words that you spoke to him? What is the covenant that you made with him that you will be making with me? How will you carry me through, oh God? And the Lord is knocking on our door today. And he's intimately facing you and I today. And he's asking you, what are the covenants that I made with you that will remind you that I'll never leave you? Let me ask you this afternoon. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know. I don't even know why you're here. You're not here for a barbecue. There are some joints in this place in Houston that you could probably go. But God has you this afternoon. He has your heart. He has your mind. Romans 12, verse 1 says, Paul, in the book of Romans, says, I beseech you, brethren, my brother and sister, I urge you by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Abraham, the man, after he'd seen the bloody mess that happened, God made his covenant with him. God requested of Abraham to do the same by taking his son Isaac and putting him on the altar and be ready to split him in half. And God stopping him and says, no. And God is asking us, like in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, urge you, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, not as a dead sacrifice. If you're dead, you're no good. You're done. Can you imagine the power and authority that you hold in your vessel, in your temple of the Holy Spirit? That He can use your life and He can use our life. What would happen if we believe that all these many bodies would glorify God in heaven? What would happen if we just believe, just like Abraham did? How many stars can you count? If you look, if you try to get some sand, how much sand can you count to know that God's promises are not countable? They're infinite. If He made that promise to you, then the calling that God has on your life should be such that you would infect people with God's presence. Let's pray. Every eyes closed, every head bowed this time. No distraction. I didn't come here to be smart. I didn't come here that I have something, some special knowledge. I struggle. I don't even know. Sometimes I'm so afraid even getting up and talking. I don't know that I have it in me. I fear and tremble getting up before you and speaking this word this afternoon, just thinking, how am I going to deliver this? But God is calling you. You are one body that He can use. And I'm not sure where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know if you're thinking, you don't understand. I got so much sin. There's so much stuff. People don't even know. My secrets and my heart, and you have no idea. There's no forgiveness. That's a lie. Abraham messed up so many times. In chapter 16, he messed up just the next chapter. I don't know what chapter of your life you're walking into. But God has a purpose for you. He cares for you. And His promises will always be there for you. Father God, I thank You. I thank You for Your word this afternoon. I pray that we do not leave the same. I pray that as we depart this afternoon, oh God, I pray that Your mercy, Your kindness would lead every one of us to repentance. We think of church as just an institution. We hear of sermons of just a talk, a TED talk. But yet Your Spirit comes and pierces through our life and through our minds. Understanding searches our hearts, dividing like marrow from the bone and knowing who we are. You, O Lord, the Creator of the universe, the One who made the heaven and earth, I'm pleading with You this afternoon. God, get a hold of a heart this afternoon. Let every heart in this room depart, Lord, knowing that the covenant You made with them is yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let me tell you, if you want prayer this afternoon, we're not here to create any sense of, we just want to pray with you. You feel that God has prompting on your heart. Listen, I don't know if you gave your life to Jesus, if you need to renew your life to Jesus. We're not about religion here. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm honest with you. I have no clue what I'm doing. All I can do is to extend my affection. Kevin and I are here just fully in love with the One who has given us life. He's done 14 years of drugs. God has rescued him. His testimony, he should be standing here talking how God has rescued. He's been mentoring me at Houston's First. That's how I look at him. There's no whiff of anything. And the Lord has put on our hearts. We want to pray for people. If you want to do us a favor this afternoon, if you like, I want to bless these guys, let us pray for you. We love to pray for you, whatever situation, we would love to pray for you. We're not just saying that so that, you can extend a bone to you. We're not here to do. We care, and we know that when we agree in prayer with you, that God is going to do something. So this afternoon, as you depart, as you say goodbyes, we're going to open up this place for prayer. And Kevin and I will just start praying over you. There's impossible. There's not one thing that we can pray for you. And if you need to go, you go. We understand. We'll pray for you. If you need to write a note to us, or if any way, any prayer request that is in a written form or in anything, we want to pray for you. We want to invoke the presence of God to come in the areas that you're struggling with. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me.